In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. You have found us on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 here at First String Sports, we break down all the incredible high school football action and sometimes more. For 2 hours straight, man. This is a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing this. Last night, we were able to broadcast an incredible game at San Joaquin Memorial, Buchanan San Joaquin Memorial. The Bears took care of business 31-24, beating the Panthers. Buchanan's the number one ranked team in the Central Section. And, they're turning a lot of heads up and down the state as well. So we'll be talking about that game a lot for the next 2 hours, talking about all the other games. We have great guests coming on. At the bottom of the hour, I have Liberty Madera coach Mike Nolte. He's been around for a long time, and you remember some of those great teams that Liberty Madera had in the early 2010s, 2012, 13, and 14. Just incredible run. They're currently 5-0. They beat Carruthers last night. So Coach Nolte is going to join us around 10:30 here at First String Sports to talk about this year's team, the landscape of playoffs and what that might look like. He's also the athletic director. So it'll be, I'm really interested to hear how he's able to balance the two, balance being the athletic director and the football coach, because you don't get that a lot. You get that at a lot of the medium to small schools, but definitely not in the Clovis Unified and some of the bigger schools up and down the state. The football coach is usually the PE guy, and, he's just tied to coaching football, but he's both. So looking forward to talk to Coach Nolte. At 11 o'clock, we have our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, Brandon Ramirez from San Joaquin Memorial. Now, Brandon is committed to Fresno State, committed earlier in the week, so we're extremely excited about that. We're going to be talking with him about what went into his decision, who else was looking at him. He's a two-way player. Is he going to play running back at the next level? Is he going to be a defensive back slash safety? What's that look like? But hats off to Brandon for committing to come on the show and be our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, win or lose. And they lost a heartbreaker last night, so... again, thanks to Brandon for coming in. It's probably going to be a little difficult because that was a tough loss, but he laid it on the field. I actually saw him hugging a lot of the Buchanan players, so I think there was a lot of respect between both teams. So Brandon Ramirez coming on at the 11 o'clock hour. The bottom of hour number two, hopefully we're going to be talking with Buchanan coach Ross Wood. I know he's really busy. I think he might be headed to the Fresno State game. So hoping to talk to him about the last two crazy weeks that he's had as a head coach. If not, I got some pretty good content. I have a fun story I'd love to share about USC. And, Fresno State is playing at USC tonight at 7:30, national television. A lot of hype, a lot of talk about this game. It's been on, the calendar for a while, and we've been talking about it ever since the summer. So I actually have a fun personal story from 2014. I actually got a press credentialed for that game. So, it's something that I won't forget for a long time happened to me, the game. But, maybe a little bit of an awkwardness as well. Maybe sharing that story and a couple more at the bottom of hour number two. After the break, as always, producing the show is Gabe Camarillo. Gabe has his own show, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday in the afternoons. I'm sure you guys are well aware of Gabe. And Gabe and I always chat about the games that we saw. And it's always fun to break down games on Saturdays. We talk a lot about the games during the week, and Gabe does as well. And then Friday night happens, and, you get home and you watch the news and you try to get some sleep and wake up the next morning like I do and then talk about these games. So we'll have fun chatting with Gabe about the games from last night. I believe he's actually at the Liberty and Carruthers game for a while. But now's the time when I go through the scores of all the games from last night, a little bit of commentary about each. So there's a website called Cal Preps. It's where all the rankings happen as far as the playoff seating. So if you go to Cal Preps, boom, all the scores listed. You could look at scores all the way from, actually all the way up and down the state, but if you click on the central section, you'll find all the scores there. Man, I remember back in the good old days, Saturday mornings, couldn't wait to go outside and pick up the Fresno Bee and read about all the games and keep track of everything up and down the central section. But, yeah, times are changing, and now, you know, a lot of things are web-based, internet-based. So got that right in front of me. So there are a few games that went down on Thursday, and one of note that I got to see the first three quarters of was Justin Garza High School played Coalinga. Justin Garza, Yosef Ferris is their first-year head coach. Got a lot of sophomores. They have 37 guys on their roster. 30 of them are sophomores. They're playing a full varsity big-time schedule. They're going to hit the CMAC here after their bye week. But, Justin Garza, they beat Coalinga 39-24. A couple things of note. London Alexander, he's a dude. He's a player. He's a wide receiver. Caught six passes for 150 yards and three touchdowns. Had another kickoff return. I say another because I think that's his fifth kickoff return. Beginning of the game, they weren't even kicking to him. They were squib kicking, but actually it happened right when I left, and he took another one to the house. I'm like, why are you kicking that dude? That dude's incredible. Apparently he ran a 4.35 40 in the summer. And I think when this next summer rolls around, he's going to have some D1 offers. So he had a big game. And of course, when you catch that many, when you receive for that many yards, you got to have a guy throwing to him. And Caleb Matthews, a sophomore, passed for 320 yards and five touchdowns. He had his breakout game. He actually rushed for 84 yards as well. It's Caleb Matthews, he's a really good quarterback as well. It's a name you're going to hear about for the next couple of years. He's only a sophomore. So congrats to Justin Garza for that win on Thursday. Couple other scores from last night. So in the East Sequoia League, a few leagues started already. You know, the track and the CMAC have a bye week until they get going week after next. But a lot of schools have already started league. And Corcoran beat Granite Hills 59-7. Farmersville beat Orosi 28-6. Strathmore beat Orange Cove 63-0. And Woodlake beat Lindsay 28-16. In the Mountain League, Lompoc, a team that we've kept an eye on. Some of us have them ranked in the top 15 in the central section. Well, they had a little bit of a test against Aurora Grande, their first test of the year, and they beat them 42-37. So they gave up 37 points to Aurora Grande. Mission Prep beat St. Ynez 32-27. St. Joseph's was all over in Pomono. St. Joseph's is ranked in the top 10 in a lot of polls as well, 42-0. In the North Yosemite League, Hoover got their first win of the year. Congrats to the Patriots. They beat Sanger West 33-14. McLean beat Fresno 28-21. Sunnyside with a big win. Nice comeback win. They've been a little bit of a disappointment, let's be honest. Lost a couple games. I believe they're 2-2 now. Beat Madera South 52-12. So put up a lot of points on the Stallions. Matilda Torres beat Roosevelt 26-20. So Roosevelt's still looking for their first win of the season. In Northwest Sequoia action, Chowchilla beat Yosemite 54-0. And if you guys haven't heard, Yosemite football is in their numbers are so down. Last week against Liberty Madera, they were down to 11 players. 11 players total. They called the game early. I think they got a few guys back for this week, but they're only suiting up 13 to 14 players. So, yeah, they're kind of putting kids in danger in that situation. So we'll see how the rest of the year shakes out for Yosemite. Fowler beat Parlier 39-8, and then Liberty Madera, we're talking to Coach Nolte, and in a few minutes here, beat Carruthers 27-24, and Riverdale beat Minarets 42-14. In non-league action, the game that we had last night, we're breaking that down a little bit more with Gabe Camarillo. Buchanan with a great win at San Joaquin Memorial, 31-24. It was a game that Buchanan was down 21-3 to start the game. And Buchanan, they scored with about 56 seconds left in the half, got some points that they really needed on a nice drive. And then from there, it was all Bears. They had a touchdown pass from Jaden Mandel to Colton O'Toole, cut the lead to 21-17, and then a pick six by Gus Remlinger. Really, Memorial wasn't able to recover after that. It was a short pick six on a screen pass. Linebacker just picked it up, number 47, and picked it off and took it all the way to house. And then Michael Runnels, really good running back, sealed a win with a long touchdown run. So, yeah, congrats to the Bears. Big win over San Joaquin Memorial, the undisputed number one team in the central section. Centennial of Bakersfield beat Sanger 35-26. And Central Valley Christian, running clock, beat Mission Oak 42-7. It was 42-0 with a running clock. So, Yeah, Coach Mason Hughes had a really good team there at Central Valley Christian. They're only going to get better in a week or two when one of their stud running backs becomes eligible. Clovis High. Look at them Cougars. Beat the Knights of Bullard 21-14 at La Monica Stadium. So don't look now, but the Cougars, they're 3-2. Couple nice wins, right? Got a win against Sanger, win against Bullard. Congrats to Aaron Wilkins for getting that third win before league starts. And Clovis East, hey, they're averaging 50 points a game before this game. Well, they didn't quite reach it. They only scored 49. Come on, Timberwolves, let's go. Get up to that 50 again. They beat Tulare Union 49-34. So Timberwolves are 4-0. Clovis North with a big win at Bakersfield, 37-14. Wow. Good job, Clovis North, on that. McKay Madsen, I guess he went in beast mode last night, running back. Incredible athlete. Clovis West, the Golden Eagles, 38-0. That's the third shutout for Clovis West. Got a really good ball club. Sanders brothers, Markel and Marshall, had four touchdowns between them. So congrats to Clovis West. They are rolling. Fireball beat Emmanuel 14-7. Frontier of Bakersfield beat Independence 35-21. And then another big one. Liberty of Bakersfield, defending D1 champs, came to Central in a rematch of last year's Central Section Championship and beat the Grizzlies at home at their place 35-10. All right, big win for Coach Nixon, those guys. They'll, you know, they had that tough loss last week to Buchanan, so they came back, and, they beat Central 35-10. Madera beat Golden Valley 34-24. Redwood upset. Redwood beat Hanford in overtime, 26-20. A couple storylines there. Pretty sure Gabe's got some information. The sophomore quarterback, I believe, got hurt. Not sure if he went back into the game. But, yeah, congrats to Redwood. That's a big win for them. They beat him last year. Hanford was rolling in a magical season. And, did it again, man. Upset or beat him twice. I don't know. Last year was an upset, probably. This year, upset, probably. So Redwood's got their number. Also, Washington Union beat Dinuba 13-12. And, that pretty much wraps it up. All right, we're going to hit a break right now. And when we come back, we'll be breaking down these games a little bit more from last night with Gabe Camarillo. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. You found 1430 ESPN. Let that go a little bit. AC/DC. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, Blackstone and Sierra Avenue. Come on down here. This is definitely the place to be. I love having my show here. I say this every week because it's true. When I come here a little after 9 o'clock, get things set up and, you know, make sure my notes are in order and everything's in place here. The Letterman's Jacket Room. There's no other place I'd rather do the show. Come on down here. Just, you know, when you walk in, just veer to the right a little bit. I'm set up here, and if you haven't got your Letterman's jacket or your kid's Letterman's jacket, this is the only place in town to get it. And they'll customize it for you. They actually have a little screen, and they'll do a mock-up for you. And yeah, do all the embroidery here. You can put Bible verses. You can put whatever you want on your Letterman's jacket. It's really cool. So thank you to First String Sports for being my number one sponsor. So the first segment, I listed a bunch of scores, gave a little bit of info, especially the game that we did last night on 1430 ESPN between Buchanan and San Joaquin Memorial. And it was a blast last night with Jose Gonzalez and Coach Pat Hill. I mean, gosh, that guy can't get enough football. Coach Hill does an amazing job breaking down plays for us on air. And, he's waking up early this morning and headed to USC to call that great game that the Bulldogs are going to be playing later tonight at 7:30. But this is the time we dive a little bit deeper into games, and we talk about what we saw and some of the stats that we were able to see with Gabe Camarillo. So, Gabe, so last night you were out and about a little bit while we were calling that great Buchanan-San Joaquin Memorial game. So what's some of the cool stuff that you saw last night?
I saw a fantastic crowd at Memorial. That second half, I watched most of it. It was an electric atmosphere. Felt like a playoff game in many ways. And Buchanan, when I walked in the stadium, they were down 21-3. When I left the stadium, they were up 31-21. That was how fast they scored. Buchanan, you got to give him credit because the Bears always come in kind of a little bit undervalued. They're always kind of an underdog a little bit. People pick Memorial to win this one after watching Memorial beat Central. And we saw Buchanan play Liberty so well last week. People were thinking, well, maybe the Bears have a bit of a letdown. No such thing. Maybe in the first quarter they had a letdown when they went down 21-3. But in that second quarter, I think the big difference in that game was the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. That was a huge swing for the Bears to be able to score a Cannon Campbell touchdown before halftime, get that momentum going into the locker room. Coach Wood, I heard, gave a very, very fiery locker room speech, got the Bears out there for the second half, and that's where the fireworks started. Jaden Mandel, touchdown pass, Augustus Rumlinger. We always talk about him, the Gus Bus, got a pick six to put the Bears on top, and then it almost looked like Memorial would have a chance at getting back the momentum. They got an end zone interception, but after that, Michael Runnels got a 65-yard touchdown run to put that thing to bed. I know Memorial had some fight late, but once Buchanan went up 31-21, it was good for their running backs to start turning first downs, for their defense to sit back and do what they do so well. I think Buchanan is the most complete team in the Central section. That's why they're still number one.
Yeah, that seems to be Buchanan's MO for the last couple of weeks. Get down. They were down 14-0 at Liberty. Score back with 35 straight. Well, same type of thing last night at San Joaquin Memorial. Down 21-3 with about 2:18 left, and drove down the field and got a touchdown on a touchdown run that made it 21-10. And then it was all Buchanan after that with 28 straight points. But what really impressed me in that game was, you know, when you got a Division I quarterback in Jaden Mandel, headed committed to Fresno State, with a strong arm, great pocket presence, just makes plays, makes things happen. The temptation would be there, you know, when you're down like that, just throw, right? Get those points back early. But they didn't. They took what was given to them. They continued to run the ball. Michael Runnels, you know, broke the game open with that 50-something yard run, maybe 60 yards. But, you know, even when they were down 21-10, run, chunk here. Not a lot of negative yards. You know, there are a couple penalties here and there. And, you know, high school kids can commit a lot of penalties at times. But I was just super impressed that Buchanan stayed calm, right? Mandel didn't panic. They've been there before. They trust themselves. And instead of just throwing the ball all over the field where bad things can happen, they committed to the game plan, committed to the run, and ended up pulling out. A lot of questions coming in with the new head coach, Ross Wood, Matt Giordano, no longer the head coach there. I think the Bears are, you know, obviously track play is going to happen, but I mean, I think the Bears are for real.
Yeah, they are the most complete team. There's not a weakness that I can see, at least. The running game is solid. The passing game is obviously solid with the Division I quarterback. And the defense made big plays. And the biggest thing about the defense is they're the bend but don't break type. They'll give up touchdowns. I think most high school defenses do if you're playing some strong competition like the Bears have. But they also get a lot of turnovers. They force so many turnovers, and those are big turnovers. Remember, last week, Roman Freeze got a big interception to set up a Buchanan touchdown. This week, Augustus Remlinger was the one with an interception returned for a touchdown. So I think there's so many positive things to say about the Bears, but the Clovis West Golden Eagles have them next, and they have a week to prepare for Buchanan. So does Buchanan for Clovis West. That's going to be a very fun matchup. Both these teams with 2 weeks before this game, the hype train is going to be unreal as we hype this game up to start track play September 30th.
You mean what? Paul Meaders and Gabe Camarillo hyping up football games? Never, not us. We're not passionate about this.
That's going to be a huge one. A huge one. Because if Clovis West beats Buchanan, and some people think they can, and why not, right? Because Clovis West is a very good team with their third shutout in 5 games. Hey, yeah. I'm telling you what, if Clovis West beats Buchanan, all of a sudden everything's upside down because Clovis West might be number one in the rankings if they beat Buchanan.
No, absolutely. And, speaking of Clovis West, let's talk about them for a bit. Edison, a little bit unknown about them. We know they had a really good quarterback. Their competition hasn't been great. You know, they played a medium to small school in that first game and I think barely squeaked by to open the season. But we know the Tigers usually get stronger as the year goes on. But, hey, tough sledding, man, for the Tigers because that Clovis West defense was coming at them. And then the Sanders brothers combined for 4 touchdowns. Good to see Markel get some love as well, you know, because, you know, his brothers get a lot of love. And obviously his sisters who were basketball players. to see him get some love online. But, yeah, I mean, Clovis West is playing some really strong football right now.
Yeah, that was a bit of a weird game. According to our friend Christian Lukens, it was 14-0 Clovis West at halftime. Edison had about 200 yards of offense. Clovis West had about 20 yards of offense. The 14 points Clovis West scored in the first half were special teams touchdown, a game-opening kickoff return touchdown, and a Markell Sanders blocked field goal return for a touchdown. So Edison dominated the first half offensively, outnumbered Clovis West in yardage, according to our friend Christian Lukens, 200 to about 20 to 50 yards for Clovis West. But then in the second half, it all flipped. Clovis West defensively, they were able to keep Edison out of the end zone despite giving up all those yards. They did pitch a shutout. And the offense eventually came around and scored all those points, 38-0. But an interesting first half nonetheless. Clovis West, they get the MO of being Air West, but we got to start giving some respect to this defense because it's hard to do three shutouts in five games. I don't care who you're playing. You got Turlock shutout, you got Ridgeview shutout, you got Edison shutout. These are all more than capable teams. They could have all scored touchdowns. They didn't because Clovis West is that good on that side of the football.
Yeah, and you got to learn to win games in different ways, right? If the air attack isn't working, you got to figure out ways to win games.
And the running game is awesome, too. Aiden Fortenberry is doing a fantastic job for Clovis West.
He is. He's going to get those tough yards. Are there any other scores that really, surprised you last night? So, Clovis beating Bullard 21-14. Clovis North beating Bakersfield. That was a little bit of a, really good job by the Broncos there, beating Bakersfield 37-14. Any other games or maybe those games stood out to you as being a little like head-turner?
The Clovis North Bakersfield game told me what I kind of already knew. And no offense to Bakersfield listeners, but Fresno football, Clovis football was better than Bakersfield football, at least this season, because that's a middle-tier track team that beat a middle-tier Bakersfield team and beat them quite handily in that case. So we just Clovis North, good job by them on the road, winning at Griffith Field. Never an easy place to play, but that's just an example of, right, overall, top to bottom, we might have better football here in Fresno and Clovis. And then also a score that stood out to me down in Tulare, CVC faced the best public school Tulare had to offer, and it was a running clock in the fourth quarter. What does that say about the disparity between CVC and the rest of their local talent there in the Visalia-Tulare region, right? We talked about this during the week, right? It looks like CVC is so far ahead of everybody else down there. To get competition, they have to come up here to Fresno and Clovis and face a Clovis North. So it looks like their biggest test next will be Kingsburg on October 14th. That could be for the one seed in D2. But I have a tough time seeing this team lose in November unless they face a track school or maybe someone upsets them.
Yeah, Central Valley Christian's got a really good team. We were able to see them with our own eyes in their win against Clovis North a couple weeks ago. And I was getting some updates from a friend during that game that was at that game. And, yeah, I mean, the Cavaliers were dominating. They're only going to get better with a three-star running back that's going to become eligible. So, yeah, Central Valley Christian, they are for real. And then Clovis East keeps putting up points, man. 49 against Tulare Union. We know Tulare Union has given up a lot of points. But, yeah, I mean, the Timberwolves just keep rolling. Can't wait to see the stats. I'm sure Ty Miller had another great game. That guy's a stud quarterback, sophomore. But, yeah, were you a little bit at the Liberty and Carruthers game a little bit? I know I got Coach Nolte coming on up after the break, but were you able to check that game out, or were you just reporting scores?
I was there for the entire first half, and right. Carruthers had this fantastic quarterback, Colin Hirschhorn. He is the cousin of Houston and Holden. His dad is Orrin Hirschhorn, who is the superintendent of the Carruthers schools, and his uncle's Oscar Hirschhorn, which is the Fresno Pacific coach. So there's a bit of a family lineage lesson for the Hirschhorns. Colin's a fantastic quarterback for Carruthers. He aired it out all night, and so Liberty Madero got up early. They got up big, but Carruthers had a lot of fight in them, and they made this one a battle to the final buzzer, or final whistle, you can say. And 27-24 Liberty Madera. When I was there, Liberty Madera looked really good with Vince Oberti running the football. Caleb Sisko got a touchdown. It was great to see the Hawks run that kind of offense. It was an inventive offense. I was really impressed with what the Hawks did on that side of the ball. But give Carruthers credit. They made this one a battle. We knew it would be a battle with two of the best teams in the Northwest Sequoia League. That was a fun one. And real quick, I got to get this in before our time is up. Hanford losing to Redwood?
Yeah.
You can't drop Hanford that much for that because they lost their quarterback in the first quarter. They were running a Wildcat offense for the rest of the three quarters. And I learned Hanford got the first down to seal the game in the fourth quarter. It should have never gone to overtime, but Redwood stripped the football. It was one of four turnovers for Hanford on the night. I think I'm getting that number right. Three fumbles and an interception in the end zone. So, yeah, a turnover-filled night for Hanford. We knew Redwood was going to be a good defense coming in because Redwood's defensive coordinator has a relationship with Kenneth Sanchez. They both were on the same staff in 2015 for that state championship Hanford team. So, yeah, it's all types of relationships between both coaching staffs, and the players know each other very well. Whenever a game like this happens, you know it's going to be close regardless of if Hanford's a top 10 team. Redwood played Ranger football. That's what Coach Sharton said in the week they had to do to win. That's what they did. They won in overtime. But it's good news for Hanford. It looks like Caden Muir will come back by the end of this month, which is good news because Daniel Gomez went out of the game in the first quarter.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be tough sledding for Hanford for the Bullpups. And, you know, they threw the sophomore out there at a really good game last week. And that's probably one of those situations where, you know, Coach Sanchez is shaking the hands with the Redwood staff and the defensive coordinator's buddy is, you know, a little sheepish look. You shake hands, you kind of shake your head after the game.
Yeah, because
like,
most of the time.
Bro, come on, man.
Most of the time they're going to go out, hang out afterward because they usually play two different games. But I wonder what happens when they play each other. Like, do they still hang out afterward? I'm not sure. But
I don't know. Maybe give it a 24-hour. Buffer zone. But yeah, great talking with you, Gabe. Great job as always. You can follow him at Gabe Camarillo _. Does a fantastic job keeping everybody updated on scores. Obviously, listen to his show from 3 to 5 on 1430 ESPN. Gabe, we might bring you back later in the show and talk a little bit more high school football. Thanks.
All right. Love it.
All right. Coming up after the break. Hey, we're going to be breaking that game down and a little bit more about Madera Liberty, Liberty Madera and Carruthers. We got Coach Mike Nolte coming on the show on 1430 ESPN.
Committed.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow the station at 1430 ESPN. I think we do a pretty good job keeping people informed of what's going on out there in the high school world. All right, we have Liberty Madera coach Mike Nolte, football coach, coming on right now. So coach, you mentioned you graduated in 1987 from Central. I graduated in 1989 from Emmanuel, so we're pretty similar in age. What were your jams back then? You know, what did you have any theme songs or what you know, when at lunchtime at Central, when you got in your Trans Am or whatever you drove around, what were you cranking up? What, hard rock or Def Leppard? What were your guys?
Oh, you're starting off with the tough questions, man.
It might be the toughest question.
Those were a long time ago, man. I don't know. I think the music in the 80s was the best. So.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little biased.
I agree, man. The classics and the White Snakes, the hair metal bands, right? I mean, those are the big bands. And you know, I think there was like B95. There was a radio station out there as well as played more hip hop. But yeah, those are some classic simple days for sure. But last night you had a tough one, man, against Carruthers. We were texting each other this week a little bit, and you said, hey, this is going to be a tough game. You know, Carruthers, you know, they've had a couple down years, but they've been young in the past, and they got a lot of seniors. But, you know, you started off pretty hot in that game. I think you're up 20-0, able to hold on to the win. So, how did that game go down, and what play stuck out to you?
Well, you're right. I mean, you know, a recipe for success is when you have a lot of guys coming back, and, you know, both us and Carruthers have a lot of guys coming back from last year. And, you know, we got up early and got up 20-0. You know, a lot of teams, I give Carruthers a lot of credit because a lot of teams would have folded their tents. And, you know, Coach Ward and his staff do a great job preparing their kids. And obviously their kids have a lot of fighting spirit. And they never laid down.
Yeah.
They kept battling back, and they made some big plays and got back into the game and made it real exciting at the end.
So you guys are now 5-0 on the season. You guys have a bye week before, or you guys keep going here?
Yeah, we have a bye next week, and then we play Fowler.
And then you got Fowler.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are some of your standouts from last night's game? I know you're a run heavy team and right ground to pound. So who are some standouts in last night's game?
Well, I think Vincent Oberti had a good game, good solid game. I think he went for over 100 yards and a touchdown or two, and had an interception on defense. Caleb Sisko ran well early, and you know our big boys up front, you know, kind of kind of handled it in the first half. Carruthers' pressure in the second half gave us some problems, but you know, again, our defense stepped up when they needed to, and you know, got the win in the end.
Yeah, and you know, Carruthers shut you guys out in that second half. Was it just tough sled? I know you call plays on offense. Was like, man, it's tough to find some gaps against these guys. They're making some good adjustments. Was that the case?
Yeah, I think they had a good scheme coming into the game, made some good adjustments, and yeah, it really gave us some problems in the second half. And it's tough when you're trying to find something that works, and you line up and things look like, hey, this is gonna go, and then, you know, all of a sudden, no. So
yeah,
you know, I give them a lot of credit. They did a great job.
And so you call plays on the offense. You're a head coach, but you also call plays. So how would you describe your offense? What's been your offensive philosophy since you started coaching, I guess?
Well, you know, I'm a wing T guy. I got, you know, started with the wing T with Wayne Kaligian at Central High way back, gosh, I don't know, 96, 97. You know, we've been of the philosophy that, hey, you know, we're gonna run the football until we can't, and if we're having success doing it, we're gonna keep doing it. And fortunately, you know, we've had some success.
You've had a lot of success. Talking with Liberty coach Mike Nolte. You know, for the basics of the wing tee, you know, us that have been around football for a long time, and coaches that are listening, they understand the offense, right? And you think about the old days of Clovis West and how they ran it and how tough that was. So what's the best way to describe a wing tee offense?
Well, it can vary from year to year depending on your personnel, I think, and what you do. You know, there's the option phase to it. There's, you know, the passing phase out of it, and of course all the base run plays, and then the wrinkles that you put in off of the run plays. It can be a pretty dynamic offense if you understand it right. You know, I think that over the years we've found ways to play to our strengths, and you know, again, been competitive.
Yeah, let's just say, for instance, what if you had a stud quarterback, right? A kid that could absolutely sling it. You know, he's going to project to be, you know, 6'2", you know, 185 pounds with junior or senior. Is, you know, if you got a kid like that in your program, are you going to be able to modify your offense to fit? Like you said, you mentioned the personnel, and you know, and you're a medium to small school as well. Is that something that you would do?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to play to your strengths.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of teams that I see nowadays that fall in love with a certain scheme and try to fit sort of a, you know, square peg into a round hole sometimes. And with the wing tee, I think you can break out of it. You can look a little bit more spread, but having that base run game intact is important.
How many players do you have on your roster right now? And you have a JV and a varsity program?
Yeah, no, we have freshman. JV and varsity, and our numbers are a little higher than they've been in the last couple of years. We're up at 36 on the varsity team and 35 on the JV team. So numbers are up a little bit. You know, we lived around 25, 28 for a couple of years there on the varsity. And, you know, with the whole COVID thing and guys being out from week to week, well, you know, we played some games with 17 kids.
Yeah.
And it's a tough go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk a little bit about last year, right? I mean, you know, coming out of the COVID year, and then last year was an interesting year. You guys got hot towards the end of the year. We did your game against Emmanuel. And they beat you early in the season, right? And then you beat them in the playoff game, play really good defense, beat them 14-0. You made a nice run through the playoffs. You get to that championship game, Division 5, right?
Yes.
And you played a school called Rigetti.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of research. All right. So Rigetti, 2,300 kids, right? Liberty Madera, 550 or so, give or take a few, right? I mean, thoughts and feelings about that. What did you tell your team? You know, I hate to bring that up from last year because obviously you got a really good team this year. But, you know, how do you describe that experience?
Well, I think, but first of all, I mean, we're going to prepare for any team. you know, whether they're a small school, a big school, you know, whatever we think about the team, we're gonna prepare our kids the same way each week, whether it's a championship game or the first game of the season. But you know, playing Rigetti in the championship game, it was a tall task, and we knew it going in. They didn't have a great record, so the playoff system, the way it was, they fell down to our division.
I mean, I think they were 1-8 going into the playoffs. Am I not wrong on that?
Two and seven.
Yeah,
something like that. And you know, I mean, we had a decent year, but you know, we didn't by any means light the world on fire last year during the season. But in some ways, I think we were fortunate that we had the season we did, and some of those losses, like against Emmanuel early in the season, the Kerman loss that we lost on the last play, almost blessings in disguise for the playoff format the way it was. And we stayed in Division Five. We were the 8th seed, and you know, we played Chavez the first game, bigger school. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a great season, but got pushed down to 5. Then we got Emmanuel in the quarterfinals. Another game that we, you know, we knew we can be competitive in because we had played them already, and then had to go on the road to Boron. That was something. That was a big trip. And then
I think 94% of the people listening right now have no idea where that is.
It's out there. If you've ever been to Vegas, you passed it. But and then, you know, traveling over to Rigetti. So we had a lot of miles. But you know, the playoff system is what it was. And now that they've made base divisions, you can go up and down one. I think it was a step in the right direction. I'm still a fan of the old system where you knew what division you were going to play in, and everybody kind of jockeyed and got after it.
I 100% agree with that. Heck, you know, again, we graduated in the 80s, and you knew exactly what division. There were only 3 divisions, man: the big boys of Yosemite, the Sequoia, the middle schools, and the Sierra division. You knew who you were playing against, and you knew what you were up against back in those days. But you're also the athletic director, and I want to ask you about how are you able to balance the two. There's probably, you know, more in the medium to small schools where the football coach is also the athletic director. But, you know, how are you able to balance the two?
I think first and foremost is the administration we have at Liberty has really made it possible for me to be able to do this. You know, they're very supportive. They're always out there. They're at all the games, whether it's volleyball or tennis or, you know, golf, cross country, whatever's going on is, you know, they're there. So they sort of take that load off of me in the fall, and then, you know, in the winter and spring sports, I do my part for sure. But it's a pretty good balance. I mean, they've given me a good schedule to where I can I have time to do the athletic director stuff during the day and you know, coach football in the afternoon. So.
Yeah, and you know, we give a lot of love, obviously, to the big, you know, time recruits, right? Kendall Milton of Buchanan scored a touchdown for University of Georgia, right? We pay a lot of attention to those schools, and deservedly so. There's a lot of good players and a lot of good coaches out there, a lot of good school spirit. But, you know, I love medium to small school football, right? There's something about a community, right? Community-based school where you get a lot of fans out. You know the parents. You're coaching brothers, right? And sometimes you might actually be coaching the son of one of your former players, right? That might be coming up soon too. But you know what do you say about, you know, the Kermans and the Carruthers and the Liberty and Madeiras and just those types of communities, and when they get together and play each other in football?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, they're great atmospheres. I mean, if you know, I know, who's the guy you're talking to early?
Gabe
was at our game last night, and he touched on it. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. We had our stands were packed, and there's people walking around the side, and, you know, we had our youth night, and all of the youth football players were out there. And, you know, that's the kind of thing you see as you go to these different places, like you mentioned, Carruthers and Kerman and Fireball and Dos Palace. And, I mean,
Reedley now. Reedley's got a good program.
Yeah, and it's really a fun atmosphere. you know, one of the best atmospheres that we haven't played in a while. But Fowler has a great atmosphere. Yeah. You know, it's a, you know, no track around their field, and you know, people are there, they show up, and it's a fun place to play. I liken it a lot to like the Sanger atmosphere on a little smaller scale, but it's still fun. I mean, it's still fun and it's still exciting.
Talking with Mike Nolte, the head coach at Liberty Madera. So you know, I did. We also did your baseball game against Madera South last year, and was able to talk to you a little bit. And you know, driving there, and you know, off of 41 Avenue 12, and I saw some new developments there. What's the plan for the school? You guys have room for, you know, for more students? Is there more developments? I know you're very involved in the community. Obviously, you're an athletic director too. So is there some big game plan for Liberty Marina? Are you guys going to say about that size?
Yeah, no, I think it's growing. We're up about 100 kids from last year already. And, you know, there's room to grow on our campus. We have a couple more spots for some new classroom buildings. There's plans for another gym. There's plans for, you know, there's plans for a pool, and you know, hopefully, you know, upgrading our facilities and different things like that, and continuing to stay up with the growth is important for us. But no, we have room to grow. So I don't know exactly how many you know, what the capacity is at full build out, but you know, that's all going to happen probably sooner than later for us.
And going back, I hit on a tiny bit, but you had some really good teams around 10 years ago, right? 2012, 13, 14, Central Section Championships. Back then, I think we still call them Valley Championships, right? So the 2012, was
D5.
D5, and then D5 again, and then D4?
Yeah.
In year 14?
Right. So, you know, you remember in the old system that you know, you had the division, you played in your division, and then, you know, if you were successful in those divisions, then they would move you up or move you down if you were not, and so be it. So we had the two championships in 12 and 13, and then moved up to 4 in 14, and yeah, we were able to go undefeated that year. I mean, that was a special team. I mean, it was a lot like this year's team. You know, the kids liked each other. They worked out together. They hung out together, and you know, they really enjoyed playing together. And talent, you know, obviously talent is is important too. So.
And I went back to Max Preps and looked at some of that stats, and man, nobody really came close to you in that 2014 team, right? I mean, was that just like a perfect storm of a season as far as chemistry, good players, good coaching staff, favorable schedule, all that stuff? Is that that's just the way it worked out?
It was a perfect storm back then. I mean, we had you know, we had some really good players. You know, it was really big, good, agile, fast linemen that could play on both sides of the ball. Some good linebackers that were also running backs, and you know, the defensive backfield was solid. You know, Yeah, I look at that, and you know, you look out at the defense. It's like, man, everybody's pretty good.
Yeah, so no holes. Huh?
Be all right. And you know, that team in 14 and this team this year, you know, there's a lot of comparisons that can be drawn for sure.
And you know, those are such special memories, right? And you were able to coach your son this year, which is a really neat thing, and you coach another son, I think, on that 14 team as well. What's that like in the household, man? You know, before games, after games, are you guys breaking down film together, are you guys rehashing the game? What was that like in the house?
You know, I think it's important to it's a tough balance, but I think it's important to let the kids be kids, especially at home. You want to let them be normal, as normal as it can be at home. And then, you know, when you're out on the field, it's, you know, they're players, and you got to treat them as such. But you know, it's still special. You know, you're still dad, and they're still, you know, still your sons, and it's a special thing to watch them play and have success and get excited and with their friends and all. When you coach your sons, you also see their friends that they're playing with grow up as well. So you know those kids pretty well, and you have a pretty good attachment to them. So
yeah, that's amazing. That's so great. You've been able to do that. So league realignment as well, right? That's been kind of a hot topic, and I'm looking at the rest of your schedule. You mentioned you got Fowler on the we only got a couple minutes here, Coach. Time's flying. We got Fowler, Minarets, Parlier, Riverdale, and Chowchilla. It looks like a very favorable schedule for you. So goals for the rest of the year, right? So obviously you want to win the league. You want to come out healthy. You want to enter the playoffs in your top physical condition as well, and peaking at the right time. So what is the ultimate goal for this year's program?
Well, I think we don't look too far ahead. I mean, it's week to week for us, but yeah, ultimately I think as a team we want to obviously win every game and be the league champions. We'd be if we can accomplish that, we'd be the first Northwest Sequoia League champions, and that's an honor in and of itself. And being ready for the playoffs, healthy, and making a good run. I mean, representing ourselves well and being competitive is important. So, hopefully that's what they get out of it. And I want the kids to have a good experience. But we're excited about the new league. It's obviously the last night's game was very competitive. Yeah. I expect the Fowler game to be very, very competitive. And then, we're excited about the rest of the schedule as well. I mean, we've had some really good games against Chowchilla over the years. And Alex over there does a great job. And that's always a fun one.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Coach. Our time is up, unfortunately. But Coach Mike Nolte, coach of Liberty Madera, thanks for coming in. And, we text each other during the week. He said, hey, win or lose, I'm coming in. Absolutely. I know you had a really good game against Carruthers. You got great respect for your opponent. So thanks for coming in. Really appreciate talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we've got Brandon Ramirez, San Joaquin Memorial. Stud two-way player committed to Fresno State. A tough game last night, but hey, that's okay. That's all good. We're going to be talking about that a little bit and his future as well. Coming up on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, every Saturday from 10 to 12, breaking down all the high school football action from the night before. And yeah, this is just a great time to talk about high school sports. I mean, fall sports are great. High school football just fits perfectly into having a Saturday show. And then we get into basketball, and basketball rolls around, and then baseball as well. And yeah, every Saturday from 10 to 12. Make sure you guys come down here to First String Sports as well. They've been my day one sponsors. They're incredible over here. Come down. Get anything you want. Baseball bats. Hey, it's never too early to buy baseball stuff. Basketball stuff. I see a bunch of old jerseys here on the side that they're blowing out for $5 each. Some football jersey if you need some just to practice with. So anyway, come down here to First String Sports between Herndon and Bullard on Blackstone Avenue. All right. I just had a great conversation with Liberty Madera coach Mike Nolte. I wish we could have talked a little bit more about those incredible teams that he had in 2012, 13, and 14, but I think they had a streak where they went 41-2 over 3 years. So, yeah, incredible run there by them. So thanks to Coach Nolte for coming on. His Liberty Madera team is 5-0. And, I've had this kid on my radar for the last couple years. His name is Brandon Ramirez, stud football player for San Joaquin Memorial. Got to watch him play last year. Heard about him as a sophomore when a few offers started to trickle in, and had the pleasure of watching, I think, about three or four of his games, and finally had him able to come on the show. He's our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. So Brandon Ramirez, San Joaquin Memorial. First of all, thanks for coming, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we texting each other, DMing each other during the week, and like, hey, win or lose, he's coming in. And, we knew we were going to have a tough one last night against Buchanan, and we broke down that game, and it was a 21-3 game at one point. Buchanan stormed back. But, first of all, talk about that game and that hype against Buchanan and playing at home and just maybe even how tough of a game that was for you guys.
Yeah, it was a huge game for both teams, for the number one seed in the Valley. Physical game.
Yeah.
And, we started off hot and then gave them some hope in the second half and let them take the lead, and we couldn't come back for them. And last minute we had the chance to tie the game, but unfortunately we didn't.
Yeah, and you know, you guys did. It was 31-24. You guys were driving. You were on Buchanan's side of the field, and yeah, you know, obviously they were keying on you all night, and I felt like the last couple plays, your coaches were trying to slip you out of the backfield, put you in motion a couple times, try to get some matchup to get you in open space. And I think the last play of the game, I think it was probably to you, right? You're running a little curl route from your running back position, but your quarterback couldn't get you the ball. Was that the plan to try to get you in open space to try to tie the game up?
Yeah, I had a swing route to the left side. And, you know, we had to get about 10 yards for the first down. And we had a bad, snap or something. And the quarterback just had to make whatever was due with the play. And, you know, we didn't get no yards.
Yeah, yeah, it was a high snap. He kind of batted it up in the air, had to pick it up and roll out to the right. But, yeah, I wasn't able to complete a pass, and that's the way the game ended. But you had a big run, man. We were waiting all game for a big run from you, and you busted out an 85-yard touchdown run. It was a play where you bounced out to the right side, got to the sidelines, and yeah, you ran for about the last 75 yards untouched. But you know, talk about that play. Was it a play that you thought that you could maybe take to the house? You know, talk about that play overall and what you saw.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of my favorite plays. It's called 49. It's an outside run. And it's to their sideline. And the O-line blocked great for me. The receivers blocked good, too. And just hit it hard on the right side. Well, one man to beat. And he broke the tackle and, you know, just use my speed to get to the touchdown.
Nah, I knew your speed is absolutely right. And, yeah, are you able to, when you're out in the open field like that, are you able to see when you can cut back, when you can try to beat that guy to the sideline, right? Because he's trying to get an angle on you, right? Is that just something that you practice or something that's natural where you're trying to take an angle on those plays?
Yeah, vision is key, and that's what I'm proving on my game is to, you know, cut back when I need to, but also, you know, just use my speed to get the yards when needed.
And you also play defense, right? How many plays do you think you came off on offense and defense last night? Maybe like three or four plays. You're on the field a lot, right?
Yeah, not too many.
Not too many. Yeah, so you're a stud on defense as well. You made a couple really, really nice tackles. I remember the one was on far on your side. I think they tried to throw to a running back or a tight end. You tackled them in space. That was late in the game. But, you know, defensively, what do you love about playing defense?
I love making tackles and just flying around on the ball and making big plays. I like covering and getting interceptions is fun too.
How many interceptions you got in your career?
Three.
You got three?
Yeah.
You got any to the house?
Yeah.
You got one?
Yeah, one today.
Are you like that play that I mentioned? I think you're nodding your head, so maybe you think you remember the play that I mentioned, how you made that tackle in space. But that, to me, that seemed like just your awareness, right? And you just sensed where the other Buchanan player was going to go or was going to be, and you just seek that out. Is that like, is this something that you're taught, or is this something that just really comes natural to you?
Yeah, it was instincts. I knew when the receiver came in motion, that was a route he usually ran, and looking at the QB's eyes, I knew he was going to him right away because how fast he was coming out, and so I just sprinted full speed to get to him and make the tackle.
Yeah, that was a really good tackle. Talking with Brandon Ramirez, Sound King Memorial. You're committed to Fresno State. We're going to definitely talk about that. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about how that came to be and your thinking behind that. But, you know, growing up, when did you first start to play football, or what are your first memories of football? Your dad is here. You mentioned, well, you probably started playing football around the age of six, but what are some of your first memories about playing football?
Yeah, I started at six. Memories was just, my dad was my coach the whole time during Pop Warner, and, you know, he's taught me a lot about the game of football. And I think just being out there with my teammates, a lot of my best friends were from being the young age, and just the bond you make with your friends.
You remember what the name of your team was? Because I had Ty Miller on, the quarterback at Clovis East, a couple of weeks ago. He's like, yeah, I was on the Clovis Sharks. He's like, I still got the jersey. Do you remember the names of your teams, like Pee Wee?
Hanford Bulldogs.
You were Hanford Bulldogs back then? You still got a jersey, too, from back in the day or not?
Yeah, right? I got some jerseys. Yeah.
You got it. All right. What type of plays are your favorites? Like, you like taking it to the house on a long touchdown run? You like blowing somebody up? You like interceptions? What are your favorite types of plays? What are the types of plays you dream of?
Yeah, those long runs. Like yesterday, that was something in my mind that I was thinking about and wanting to make one of those big plays for my team. And also nice hits. You know, those highlight hits are big too.
Like where you just time it perfectly, you get your shoulder in the right spot, and you can maybe even hear the guy that's carrying the ball, you hear a little oof like that, right?
Oh, yeah, those are the best.
Talk about your team, though, right? Dwell a little bit on the loss to Buchanan, but you've had some good wins in the last couple of years. And let's go back to that that Central game as well. I mean, that was a statement game, right? You guys played the Grizzlies on their home turf. You guys won 23-21. You know, it was a team effort. You made that final play where you knocked the ball out of the receiver's hand, and they had a chance to take the lead right there. But you know, talk about some of your teammates though. Yeah, who are some of the dogs on your team?
Yeah, our nose guard, Marquise Jones, he holds it down for us. And
he's a big boy. He's like 6'2", 285, I think I saw.
Yep, he's a heck of a player. Got a couple offers as well. Our left tackle, Braden Hall, our whole line. We got a lot of good receivers. Jaden Enriquez, one of our outside linebackers and receivers, heck of a player. And
you're number 47.
Yeah,
right?
Mike Backer. Yeah. Definitely flies after the ball. And, you know, I would mention everybody, but some people might get mad. But
yeah, I know.
We got a lot of ballers on the team, though.
You do, you do. And then you have a bye week this coming week, right?
Yeah.
And then before you hit CMAC play with Edison and Madera, then that big game against Bullard on October 14th, and Justin Garza High School, and then Sanger. That Sanger game is always a rivalry game. But, yeah, we always bookmark that Bullard game. I want to talk about your commitment to Fresno State. Earlier this week, you know, a lot of us were wondering, where was Brandon going to commit? And, boom, it came out, committed to Fresno State. Let's go back a little bit to when you first got that offer. Do you remember, like, who called you? How did that offer go about? And how did you feel when you got that offer from Fresno State?
Yeah, I remember J.D. Williams called me. It was during a track practice, so I actually missed his call. And after he texted me, call him as soon as possible. And, you know, he broke the news to me. And, you know, it meant a lot to me because that was an offer that I was always looking forward to. And, you know, it felt – it meant a lot.
Did like, when did they first start talking to you? Or did they start watching you in some 7-on-7? Or did they come to some practices? Or when do you think they first noticed you?
Yeah, I think just from a while back. But then with the new coaching staff, they probably just – seen my tape from last year and probably during the summer.
Yeah.
Started during the summer.
So what do you think are your biggest strengths that you can bring to, obviously, to your team right now at San Joaquin Memorial and then the future for Fresno State? But what are the strengths that you have that you bring to your team?
Yeah, just working hard. You know, I'm going to give it my all every play. And being a team player, I'm a football player, so I can play – a lot of positions and do whatever is asked.
When did you really start taking football serious? I'm thinking more like weight room, like, hey, I could get a scholarship, I need to take this super serious, or, you know, breaking down your techniques and with your trainer and all that stuff. When did you, like, really take it super serious?
Yeah, I would say about eighth grade, because I knew that I had a chance of being on varsity as a freshman. So I knew being an eighth grader that I had to work hard. And, you know, that's when my confidence started to pick up and, you know, realizing that it's possible and that I'm a good football player.
No, you are. You're a great football player. You're not a good football player. You're a great football player.
You.
Yeah, I think one of the best two-way players in the central section and in the state as well. And what are you, about 6'1", 195, 190? What are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 6'1", 195.
Woo, that's going to play at the next level for sure, especially in the, you know, defensive back area and maybe a safety as well. Has Fresno State talked to you about where they see you?
Yeah, they were recruiting me as a safety.
As a safety. But the last couple of years at Simon King Memorial, where's been your primary position on defense?
Yeah, strong safety. I'm inside the box a lot for our linemen on our defense. Yeah, play a lot of man-on-man coverage too. And get over the top a couple times.
Yeah, and I see you, you know, you cover a lot of slot guys,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're – Have you been going on a lot of blitzes the last couple of years, or you just made
yeah.
it kind of staying at home? You're blitzing a little bit?
Yeah, I blitz a couple of times a game.
Yeah. Are you going to we're going to watch the game tonight, Fresno State, USC, or are you going to the game? Are you making a drive, or are you watching?
Yeah, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch on TV.
All right. You yep. watch with your family, with some friends. What's the plan?
Yeah, with my family.
Okay. And, you know, talk about your family. Is it? You know, who has inspired you, you know, throughout growing up and been there for you, and maybe some times have been tough? You know, who's been your corner?
Yeah, I couldn't thank my mom and dad. They're everything for me. My dad takes me all my workouts, you know, everything. He follows me, and his support is key to my success. And then my mom. You know, she's always she's loving. She always cares for me, and she does all the stuff outside of football.
Yeah.
And then my brother, I look up to my brother. Key reason why I play football, and then just you know, a lot of my family. Family's everything to me.
Who does your laundry for you?
My mom.
Well, there you go. There you go. Moms are big. Moms are important, man. That's awesome. So, yeah, it sounds like you have a great family, a great support system as well. What went into your commitment to Fresno State? Like, you, well, first of all, what were some of your other offers from?
Yeah, I had other offers from BYU, Colorado, Air Force, Army, Yale, Fordham.
Yale, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So that means you got good grades?
Yeah, got some good grades.
All right, all right, all right. So then you probably always wanted to be a dog, right? Fresno yeah. State offer came in. You talked about how much that meant to you. So your final decision, you're like, all right, I want to make this decision to go to Fresno State. What was the ultimate reason why you wanted to commit to Fresno State?
Yeah, ultimate reason was staying home, having my family – being there to support me and be able to go to every single game.
Yeah.
You know, that's what my mom wanted me to go. So that played a part. And then Coach Tefford coming back, you know, that was big for the Valley. And, you know, hear a lot of great things about him always. And he's a great coach.
No, he is. He is. And he's a great man, and you hear nothing but great things about Coach Tedford. He's able to watch a few of the practices over the last – or this last year. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great atmosphere. Really excited for you. Talking with Brandon Romero, Simon King Memorial football player, committed to university – or committed to Fresno State. Who's your NFL team?
The 49ers.
Your Niners guy?
Yep.
Through and through.
Oh, yeah.
You got jerseys? You got posters?
Yep,
what do you got? What do you got?
Jerseys, you know, just love the Niners. Nobody else.
Nobody else. All right. Is that from your family?
Like yeah.
Your Niner family through
yep.
and through. Okay. What do you think, Trey Lance? You think he's the answer, or you think,
I think we got to be patient with him.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Is there any? Who are the NFL players that you like model your game after, or who are your NFL guys that you like watching?
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball, I like watching Fred Warner, especially because he's on the 49ers. And the way he flies around, and he's a cover linebacker but makes tackles too.
Yeah.
And then offense, my favorite running back is Derrick Henry.
All right. Yeah. What's Derrick Henry, about 260 pounds because he punishes guys? Is that why you like him?
Yeah.
And he can break it out too? He can break long ones too.
Yep.
All right. What about movies? Are you a movie guy? Do you watch TV shows? You watch Netflix shows? You got some favorite types of movies?
Yeah, I watch some movies sometimes. I would say my favorite football movie is the Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's a big one. I like the Rocky movies.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rocky 3 and Rocky. Obviously, the original is the original. Actually, that movie's a little slow when you go back and watch it. Rocky 3 and Rocky 4, you know, with Mr. T, right, Clubber Lane, and then with Dolph Lundgren and Rocky 4, Ivan Drago. So those are some of my favorites as well. All right, Brandon, got a couple final questions for you. Your rival's Bullard, right? When you play Bullard, that's what you're going to get. Was that last year or 2 years ago when you played at Chuck Chancey?
Last year.
That was last year.
Yep.
Yeah, I was at that game, and, man, that was a crazy game, man, and you busted out a couple long runs. But, you know, when you're playing in a high-level football game against one of your rivals, you know, what's going through your mind? And, you know, when you wake up in the morning, are you just, like, super excited, can't wait to be on the field? What's going through your mind before a big game?
Yeah, the energy is definitely high. But at the same time, you got to relax, you know, play the game, stick to the technique, and just not let the game and the atmosphere get too big.
Where did you learn that from? Is that something you had to learn by yourself, right? Or is that something that, you know, coaches have instilled for you, or is that just something that you do?
Yeah, that's just something I've learned. 'Cause I've been playing on a high level since a freshman. I've been on varsity, so, you know, I'm used to these big games, and, you know, that's what I look forward to. I wouldn't want any other way.
Absolutely. Brandon Ramirez, San Joaquin Memorial, star running back, defensive player, one of the top two-way players in the Central Section and in the state. Man, I put this guy up against anybody at St. John Bosco, Modern Day, Folsom, all those schools up there. This guy can play ball. Committed to Fresno State. We're really excited about your future. Hey, always when our homegrown kids stay at home and play for Fresno State, we always root for you. So you got the whole Central Valley rooting for you. And good luck and congratulations on all your success so far.
Thank you. I appreciate the interview. Had a good time. And go Dogs.
Go Dogs. All right. And go Panthers as well, right?
Yeah, go
so
Panthers.
Brandon Ramirez, San Joaquin Memorial, thanks for coming on the show. Coming up after the break, yeah, I don't know, a little bit of a wild card. We might be talking more football with Gabe Camarillo. Hopefully Coach Ross Wood from Buchanan, we could find him and talk to him about their crazy games for the last 2 weeks. Hey, if not, I got a couple fun stories for you, one at USC, and lots of fun stuff here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Calling all sports.
Better voices. Thank you for listening to the Central Valley Sports Report. You found 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, every Saturday, 10 to 12. A little bit of 21 Pilots bringing me back on here at First String Sports, corner of, well, in between Herndon and Bullard on Blackstone Avenue. I had a really good conversation with Brandon Ramirez, San Joaquin Memorial, star football player. Yeah, you know, there's just certain guys that stand out in football games, and he's number 8 on the football field. And, you know, when you're watching games, obviously when you're broadcasting games as well, there's just certain guys that stick out, and number 8 is all over the field. You mentioned that, you know, I've seen him play 4 or 5 times in the last 3 years. He's a standout. He's a well-put-together kid. He's got a great support system. Fresno State's getting a good one. So, again, we always celebrate our local talent that commits to Fresno State. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to ask him about Jaden Mandel, who is the quarterback for Buchanan, is also headed to Fresno State. He's committed there as well. So two homegrown kids headed to Fresno State. Hopefully, again, unless things drastically change, but those two kids are committed. But I mentioned earlier when we were breaking down the game in the opening segment that both these teams had a lot of respect for each other. We saw the Memorial and Central game, and, yeah, those two teams got after it. And, you know, but in this game, they went after it on the field, talking about Buchanan and San Joaquin Memorial. But after the game, they were hugging each other, man. Guys were on the ground. They were picking each other up and tapping each other on the helmet, because I think they really understood how good of a game that was. Coach Pat Hill is mentioning what a great football game that was. We're getting high school environment, great football game played on the field, high level, great plays. comebacks. You know, that game last night had it all. And those Buchanan and San Joaquin Memorial, if you throw obviously Central and Liberty in there and Clovis West, you know, those are going to be, you know, the top teams in Division One. They're going to be battling out. Those teams are going to be facing each other again. And hats off to San Joaquin Memorial for scheduling tough games. You know, it wasn't that long ago that they were in Division Three and then Division Two. But, you know, they're like, hey, if we're going to be a legit contender in D1 games, we're going to get some dudes. You know, they scheduled Buchanan, and they scheduled Central and Clovis North in that opening game, and then they play their annual Holy Bowl game. So, yeah, Memorial really beefed up their schedule. They're going to be ready when D1 rolls around. You know, we got the big Fresno State and USC game that's been hyped for a long time. I'm really looking forward to that. Kickoff's going to, I think, happen probably around 7:40. And you know, this is you're thinking about USC and the game at USC. And, you know, I've been in this business, I guess, since 2014. This is my second year doing the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. It kind of had a fun pathway to having my show. I started off writing for a small newspaper called the Clovis Roundup. We'd go on 1430 ESPN as a guest and talk about high school sports, and now broadcasting and having my own show. But anyway, back in 2014 when Fresno State played at USC, I was working for that Clovis Roundup newspaper, and I would get all the Fresno State media relations emails. And there was an email I got said, if you want to apply for a press credential, here's the portal. Here's what you do. You fill this out, and then it goes to their SID, and they either accept it or deny it. And, you know, if they accept it, then it depends on what level they want to give you. If they want to give you on field or just press box only or post-game, you know, pre-game stuff, it's all up to them. So I'm like, what the heck? What do I have to lose? I'm going to put my name in there. So I filled it out, put Clovis Roundup newspaper, put my email address, and sent it, not really thinking what would happen if they accepted it. And sure enough, an email came a couple days later, says, you have been approved for Fresno State and USC. And I'm thinking, well, what the heck do I do next, right? Back then, you had the Fresno Bee that would cover all the events. They sent a couple writers. Obviously, it's a big-time operation. And so I'm like, oh, I guess I can go. Let's go check this out. So I got a hotel, booked everything by myself. The newspaper didn't pay for anything, and I don't even really think I wanted them to pay for anything. I'm like, well, I'm going to go and just see what happens. So the parking pass worked. So hurdle number one. So I actually didn't even know where exactly to go. I took this elevator up and walk up these stairs. It said media room. And when I get there, I look at this list of all the credentialed media people. And my name was on the list. So I wasn't being pranked. So I found my seat. And I knew I was going to write a story for the Clovis Roundup. And, you know, there were a couple Clovis kids in that game. So I was going to write about them. And, you know, I knew a couple of the Fresno Bee guys. You know, David White was there. And I believe Robert Kawada was there as well. So I had a little conversation with those guys. And then I saw Paul Leffler and Cam Worrell that do the radio for Fresno State. And they were familiar faces. And I'd met them, I think, once each. So I didn't even know if they remembered me or anything. And there they are. They're dressed in their suits. They're professionals, obviously. They're hobnobbing around. They're talking with other media members. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go talk to these two guys. And, you know, they're familiar faces. And maybe feel a little more comfortable in that situation. So I go up to Cam and Paul, and I start talking to them. And I got a lot of nervous energy in me. If you know me, I'm talking with my hands. If you're watching on Facebook right now, I'm talking with my hands. And I'm probably talking a mile a minute. So I'm talking to Paul and Cam, and my arms fly up, and boom. I knocked Paul Leffler's drink out of his hand, spilled all over the media room at USC. I felt like time had stopped. All these eyes are looking at me. They turned like, who the heck invited this guy to USC, right? So I scramble. I run. I go get some paper towels out of the bathroom. I run back. I get down on my hands and knees, and I'm picking up the ice with my hands, and I'm trying to clean up as much as possible. Cam and Paul are nowhere to be found. They went off and doing their thing. They're probably getting ready for pregame. And it was just an awkward moment. I'm like, these guys are never going to invite me again. I half expected to go back to my seat and not having a chair there or my name being blacked out. You know, who's this guy that that was able to somehow get a press pass for this USC and Fresno State football game? But anyway, here I am now. I'm sitting. I got my own show, so I didn't get into too much trouble. My career didn't derail that much. But, yeah, I brought that up to Paul a couple weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, Paul, of course I remember that. Yes. Of course I do. And anyway, we had a good laugh about it, good chuckle. So, yeah, that's my USC and Fresno State story where I knocked a drink out of the hands of Paul Leffler and spilled all over the meeting room at USC. So if anybody's going to that game tonight, just go ahead and look up at that press box. And, yeah, yep, there's the spilled drink. maybe there's a little bit of residue still on that floor, USC press box. So, anyway, I know Gabe Camarillo has a special interest in that game as well. He writes for Barkboard. He attends practices. You can hear him if you listen to the radio broadcast and you hear Gabe ask some questions every once in a while. So, Gabe, first of all, aren't you glad that I didn't get blacklisted from any type of media, right? I'm still kicking and alive and well, got my own show. So, I'm glad that you and I are able to talk about high school sports, a little bit of college sports. So I know you got a vested interest in this game as well. So first of all, what do you think about that story? And you could probably see that happen. And second of all, are you going to the game? Or are you watching the game on TV? What are you doing?
First of all, I am glad that my first time in a press box wasn't quite like that. The most common snafu in press boxes, for those who aren't really, you know, the media types, it's cheering in the press box. That's the first thing you have to do.
Yes.
If you grew up a fan of the team you're covering, you have to resist that urge of after a big touchdown pass or after a strip sack of not saying, oh, yeah, you know, you can't do that. That's frowned upon in the press box. So that's the first thing. I'm sure you learned that. But in terms of spilling stuff in the press box, I was never told that might be a problem in the press box.
Well, Gabe, to be honest, there is way more to that story. So to the left are like NFL scouts, right? And to the right, there's Bill Plaschke from the LA Times. And there's all these big wigs. I'm like, oh, man, I do not belong here. But, yeah, no cheering in the press box. That's the number one rule. And I actually did that a tiny bit. I don't know if people remember, but the first drive of the game for USC, Fresno State almost had a pick six. Like, a DB stepped in front of the guy and dropped it, and he had, you know, green pastures for a touchdown, and I did a little bit of oomph like that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I spill a drink and I give a little oomph. Somehow I made it through that.
No, day. Yeah, and you're doing fantastic, Paul. That's kind of like the Disneyland story, right? Disneyland, the first day it was open, it was awful. Everything else, it's been magical. First day for your press box, maybe not ideal, but after that, everything else did perfect. So.
But it makes for a fun story.
Exactly.
Okay, so Gabe, so tonight you watching the game, or you're writing for Barkboard, you're going to be there?
I'll be there, yes. And I'm expecting hopefully a close game. I know that some Fresno State fans are a little on the side of, can we really match up with USC speed? It's funny, there's two parties of Bulldog fans, I think. There's one party that thinks this is going to be a blowout because they're still disheartened after the loss last week, and there's the other section of Bulldog fans that are making the trip down to USC thinking they'll see an upset. And for those fans, I'll say the chance is all about what happens in the trenches. You want to see Jordan Mims get the football 20, 25 times because USC's run defense is inconsistent at best. So we'll see if Jordan Mims gets the football. We'll see if Jake Haner is able to air it out. Last year, I went to the Rose Bowl when they beat UCLA, and that was a big win for the program. We'll see if they get another one for the program tonight.
So, again, around 7:40, we anticipate the kickoff. Do you hope the game becomes a shootout? Do you hope the game gets into the 40s somehow, or do you – I think Fresno State's got a really good shot if they hold USC to under 30 and they get into 30s, obviously. But, yeah, how do you think we'd fare in a shootout?
I think you need some turnovers on defense. If it's just a shootout, if it's just, okay, USC gets a touchdown, Fresno State gets a touchdown, I don't think the Bulldogs will win. I think they have to take away the football from USC once or twice because that's something they haven't had in the first 2 weeks. They haven't had a turnover forced yet. And we were just talking about the Buchanan Bears last hour. that's kind of why they're good right now. That's why they're 5-0 and the number one team in the Valley, is because they force turnovers. They don't have that defense that could necessarily limit you to 0 points, and neither does Fresno State. But last year, Fresno State's defense excelled in forcing turnovers against Oregon, against UCLA. If they want to beat USC, they're going to have to get some turnovers.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of our great memories that we have in the Central Valley is that 1992 Freedom Bowl. Talk a lot about the Reggie Bush game, you know, with Pat Hill coach. We mentioned that a little bit on the broadcast last night. Coach Hill is gracious enough to join the broadcast with us, and that's always a blast. And so, you know, it's always fun when Coach Hill talks about these big games that he's been able to coach in. We talk about that Reggie Bush game. But, yeah, that 1992 Freedom Bowl, that's still entrenched in Fresno State football lore. And I know USC is USC, and they're like, oh, that was just an aberration, right? We don't really care about that game. But for Fresno State fans and for fans of the Central Valley, that football game, still, we there's a lot of great memories that we have of that football game. Trent Dilfer, Lorenzo Neal, just beating those guys, and, you know, Coach Jim Sweeney, and keep picking them up and carrying them off the field. Those are just great memories that we hold dear to.
Yeah, and those members of that team are sprinkled across our Central Valley. Jesse Hardwick, the AD at Clovis High School, Jason James at Clovis West. I mean, those are some of the hogs on the offensive line that opened up the holes for Lorenzo Neal and Anthony Daigle and Ron Rivers. And Ron Rivers' son, obviously, Ronnie, the all-time touchdowns king at Fresno State. So, yeah, we saw a lot of those players, some of the players' offspring and Ronnie, make impacts not just after their college career, but also during their college career. So I think that's awesome to see that team still have its impact. They were honored at the game last Saturday. But in terms of maybe the team's not going to look at that game for inspiration, this is a different USC team, right? That, yeah. USC team, they were kind of at the end of their reign, one of the dark years for USC. It looks like right now USC is on the up and up, right? They're on the upswing because of Lincoln Riley and Jordan Addison and Caleb Williams. So if they beat this USC team, I think arguably this is the biggest win in school history. That Freedom Bowl victory, I think right now, is the biggest win. But this win tonight, if they win at the Coliseum in an upset, this will be the new biggest win ever for Fresno State football history.
Yeah, I think I agree. And it would be the biggest win in school history because of the ranking, I think, right? USC is ranked number 7. We happen to beat them tonight. It would be a win against the highest ranked team of all time for Fresno State. Yeah, so again, looking at that box score and USC 50 and Fresno State 42, you know, Paul Pinneger was the quarterback of that team, and Daniel White was on USC. And, you know, you think about the Reggie Bush game, and Clifton Smith, the coach mentioned last night on the radio, just a dynamic player that played in the NFL. But, yeah, an incredible game all around. But let's turn a little bit. We got a few minutes, Gabe, and, you know, you and I are well entrenched in the high school game. But this season so far, we're at the halfway point for most teams. A lot of teams have bye weeks next week. What are some of the things that have stood out to you so far in these five or six weeks of high school football?
Buchanan always being doubted and always coming up to prove everyone wrong. I mean, where did we rank Buchanan at the start of the season? I ranked them as like fourth or third,
yeah,
in the preseason rankings because I had Liberty, Central, Memorial, and Buchanan, and then they're the number one team. They beat Bakersfield convincingly. They beat Liberty in a game that many people thought should have finished, and even Liberty people are still bitter about it because I tweeted out something yesterday about Buchanan being 5-0, and they said, hey, should there be an asterisk next to that? Because they've played a full 19 quarters of football, not 20 quarters of football. And I said, you know, maybe you just need to watch this team play in November, because they will play in November, Buchanan and Liberty. So Buchanan's rise, I guess it's weird to say it's surprising, because it's really not. We've seen this team do that ever since Giordano laid the foundation. But every year, everyone kind of sleeps on them. There's always that trendy pick that is at the start of every year. Clovis High School has been the trendy pick the last 2 years with their fantastic quarterback now at Utah, Nate Johnson. This year, the trendy pick was Liberty. But Liberty got beat by Buchanan. And so once again, entering track play, Buchanan is the favorite. As far as the other surprises throughout our section, I do want to say CVC is a bit of a surprise. We knew they would be good, but did I think they would be this good with a running clock against all their competition and beating Clovis North the first time they've beaten a track opponent in school history? I think that is a bit of a surprise to me. And for them to do this without their running back, Bryson Donaldson, back yet, that just shows that this is a very deep team. And when they get him back, which will be against Kerman in 2 weeks, that's going to be an even bigger boon for the Cavaliers. I'm also a little surprised at Redwood a little bit. They upset Hanford. And so when I was checking the Cal Preps rankings, I just posted them on my Twitter account. The top 12, the D1 playoff picture, you can call it, looks like this. You got Buchanan, Liberty, Memorial, Clovis West, Central, the top five. Clovis, Centennial, St. Joe's, Clovis North. Hanford fell down to the 10th seed. Garces is 11. Redwood is 12. By beating Hanford, Redwood launched themselves into the D1 playoff picture. And they are heavy favorites to win their East Yosemite League. So, Paul, I find it hard to see Redwood falling out of the top 12. I find it hard to see them not playing D1 football unless they drop a league game. That's how much that win over Hanford meant to the computers. The computers don't know, though, that Hanford was without its starting quarterback. The computers don't know that they were running a Wildcat offense. And they don't know that Hanford had four turnovers, one of them in the end zone. So, yeah, it's complicated. And so I guess I can say I'm surprised a little by Redwood. I'm really impressed more so with the Redwood Rangers for going the last three wins without, or sorry, going three straight wins after losing the first two to Centennial and Clovis North. They've had a tough schedule. But now I'm a little concerned because look at Redwood in D1. I think they might be better off in D2. That's just the way the computers work, though, for the playoff system.
No, you're right, Gabe. Redwood to me, and you know, you think about the Kingsburgs and the CVCs, and even Hanford, those are D2 teams, right? They should be battling out in D2. So, yeah, I just updated, too. I hit the old refresh button on my browser for the Cal Preps. Again, go to Cal Preps, and you can see all the rundowns of scores from all the weeks. They do a really good job, at least of listing, and then that's what our Central Section playoffs will go by. And they put the divisions and their wins and losses. So, yeah, it's kind of an all-encompassing website. They do a good job. So, yeah, I just populated again. So Buchanan is 1, Liberty is 2, San Joaquin Memorial is 3, Clovis West is 4, and now Central dropped to 5. Clovis is 7 right now. We're talking about the D1 teams. And then Centennial is a base D2 team, but they are number 9 right now. So I know they have a tough league and they got some tough games ahead of them, but they're number 9, base Division 2. And then St. Joseph's is 10, a base Division 2. And then there's Hanford, 11, base Division 2. And then there's Clovis North that had that really good win at Bakersfield at number 12. And then Garces at 13, Division 2. And then Frontier Division 2 is 14. And then there's Redwood that you mentioned.
So here's the thing.
What do you got?
The head-to-head tiebreaker is the first tiebreaker. And then there's the common opponent tiebreaker. So this is how it breaks down. Clovis North beat Redwood, which beat Hanford. Clovis North is therefore seeded higher than Hanford. So Clovis North's the 9th seed, Hanford's the 10th seed. What does that mean? Hanford gets to play Centennial if the season were to end today. Mm. And also this, Redwood beat Hanford, which beat Frontier.
Yeah.
Therefore, because they're so close, you said Frontier's ranked right now higher than Redwood. But because Redwood beat a team that beat Frontier, they're the 12th seed ahead of Frontier. So basically, by losing to Hanford, Frontier drops down from D1 to D2 if the season were to end today. A lot of football still to be played. Frontier has a monster league schedule with Liberty, Centennial, and Garces on it.
Yeah.
Heck, I don't even know if Garces could be in D1 because they have a monster schedule starting next week against Lincoln at home. So it's all kind of right now still a lot of football to be played. It's all tentative, but like I said, Redwood is probably going to be favorite in the rest of their games in their new league. So do with that information as you will. I'm happy for Coach Charton, but part of me also thinks, man, I would have loved to see the Rangers compete in D2 because that would be an exciting division with all that talent. CVC, Kingsburg, Lompoc, everyone in there.
Yeah, lots of scenarios. Again, we're about halfway through for most schools, and a lot of schools have their bye weeks before they hit league play. But, yeah, Gabe, good job as always. Always fun to talk to you. Yeah, it's a topsy-turvy world, man, with these rankings and who's going to land where. And, you know, I know the coaches, they follow it, right? They're into it. They're looking at other teams. And then you just got to play the team that's ahead of you. And, you know, that's the mentality that the coaches have. And that it's just the way it is. At least it's better than last year, right? We talked to Coach Mike Nolte of Liberty Madera, and they made it all the way to the Division 5 championship game. About 550 students, Liberty Madera. Rigetti, 2,300. So does that seem fair? No, not really. So the system's a little bit better than last year. But, yeah, great job as always, Gabe. Really appreciate you. And if you guys could follow him at Gabe Camarillo underscore. And, again, listen to the show 3 to 5 on 1430 ESPN. Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
All right, don't spill a drink there at USC, okay?
I will try not to.
All right. Coming up, we're going to be wrapping everything up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Thank you for listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I've been your host, Paul Metters. Follow me again on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. Big thanks to First String Sports for being just great hosts, great sponsors. Really appreciate them. Jerry and Phil Luna, thank you guys for investing in high school sports. You know, there's lots of really good athletes out there. There's, you know, one of the great things that I love about our section is you have the big time schools. You got the big time football players. You think about Kendall Milton, who scored a touchdown for Georgia today in their game. You got Adrian Martinez, starting quarterback at Kansas State. They're playing Tulane at 12 o'clock. You know, you got Jalen Moreno Cropper. You know, you got a lot of really good football players that have come out of the Central section, right? But you also have these one-town schools that we love. That's what makes our section special. Josh Allen coming from Fireball. The odds-on favorite to win the MVP in the National Football League. No stars coming out of high school. Not even on anybody's radar, right? And now he has a huge contract, odds-on favorite to win the MVP of the National Football League from Fireball, California. How awesome is that, right? There's nothing like Friday Night Lights here in the Central Valley. You know, there's the hometown feel, the community, the food, the tri-tip, the cheerleaders, the going out to eat after games. All those things are super, super special. And we hope for these 2 hours every Saturday we're able to you know, peek through and get a look into how all these teams work and get to know the coaches and players. And, yeah, 1430 is definitely the place to tune in for all the, you know, the background stuff, the details, the game within a game that we love to bring out. So, again, thanks to 1430 ESPN for investing in high school kids as well. I want to thank Gabe Camarillo for producing the show. Does a fantastic job. Was able to jump on a couple different segments and talk about high school sports, a little bit about USC. Thanks to Jorge Rodriguez for hooking everything up here at First String Sports, making sure everything is plugged in correctly. Thanks to Mike Nolte from Liberty Madera, Brandon Ramirez, Sandwich Memorial, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, committed to Fresno State. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the home of the Los Angeles Lakers, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.